This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, February 18, 2024, the first Sunday in Lent, by Father William Doc Holliday.
The words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You see the voice? Pollen. I'm not sick. I don't even feel bad. Sound bad. Don't feel bad. The gospel today. Our Lord Jesus Christ's temptation. Familiar story, but in the context of Lent, we really need to be attentive to some of the things we learn. Because it's just not a matter of Jesus' temptation. It is a matter of our Catholic lives in this world. Particularly in the context of Lent. You know, the question can be posed, and it is frequently, by people who are not Catholics. And unfortunately, in our day, many Catholics don't understand the gravity and the import of our Lenten disciplines. Why do we do this? I have said several times throughout the past few weeks, as we prepared for Lent, that it is a practical engagement with the redemptive work of our Lord Jesus Christ. But I've also said that we have to understand why our Lord had to endure what he did for us. Why do we do this? Well, to imitate Jesus. That's really not an answer as to why we do this. Because you have to go, okay, if we imitate Jesus, why did he do this? Christ, and I'm not talking about the incarnation of his leaving heaven. I'm talking about once he got down here, as much as a step down as that is. Why did he submit himself to the temptations of his adversary? Why did he do this? Didn't gain him anything. But it gives us an example of the benefits of temptation. We learn a lot from being tempted. Our Lord, again, he submitted this to teach us something. First, not to be afraid of temptations. You should be very, very conscious and cautious about temptations. You should not fear them because you have to understand you got all kinds of things going for you that can keep you free of falling into temptation. Temptations are not sin. They are an opportunity to sin. If you're tempted and you don't fall into it, that's a merit. If you're tempted and you fall into it, that's a sin. Temptation is just the opportunity. Christ taught us not to fear this. But he also taught us of the opportunities that we have to grow spiritually through these things. We can never approach that. A lot of people think, you know, temptations of, oh, this really horrible moral thing that I may be confronted with maybe someday in my life. We are tempted every single day. Every single day. Time and time and time again. Every day. We are tempted. It's mostly little stuff. Satan loves the little stuff. Because you start messing with the little stuff, it's only a matter of time before you start messing around with the big stuff. It's going to happen to us. In God's direction. And please, little footnote, do not fall into this nonsense. Oh, we need to change the Lord's Prayer because it says, lead us not into temptation. But God would never lead us into temptation. What a bold-faced lie that is. It's a lie. We read in the gospel that the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, God, thrust our Lord, not led him, thrust him into the desert to be tempted. So, to say that God doesn't lead, oh no, he doesn't. He will thrust you in there every now and then. God doesn't tempt anybody. It doesn't say that God tempted our Lord. He thrust him into the desert to be tempted by Satan. But God will present the opportunity because it's for our growth. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he didn't need to grow, although he did. He grew in grace and stature with man and God in his humanity. But we have to understand that we learn things from temptations about ourselves, and it's going to happen. St. Alphonsus Liguori says, the Lord sometimes permits that souls which are dear to him should be tempted with some violence. We hear that word violence, and we think, oh, somebody hitting you or beating you up or something like that. That is not the definition of violence. Can be, but the foundational definition of violence is to any extremely forceful action. Some temptations are extremely forceful. Those are those ones when I hear quite frequently, I can't, you won't, you can. If you're baptized, you can withstand. But every now and then, the extreme force of temptation will put us in a position where we fold. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when you fold. Comes from St. Alphonsus. We need to understand that it's coming. Why? Why do we have to be tempted? Why? There's a lot of benefits to be derived from temptations. There's a lot of them. I just got a couple. First, it makes you appreciate how truly weak you are. When we're sitting in our house or in church listening to something like this, I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to worry about that. And then all of a sudden, you're not in church. And you're looking at something. You're searching this, searching that. You're just chilling. I got nothing else to do. Yeah, be careful with that. Idle hands things. You know what you say about idle hands? They are the devil's workshop. All right? We need to understand our true weakness. Lent should be a time when you put it on yourself. Lent is a time when we put ourselves in a position. I always say this, in preparation for Lent. You should put on yourself something that you think, that's going to be hard, but I think I may be able to do it. That's where you want to be. You want to do this, I'm giving up chocolate, I'm giving up Coke, and that nonsense, whatever. I'm talking about putting yourself in a position where you think you might fall. This is good for us. I always like using myself as a bad example. I was born a Catholic. I've been a Catholic for 62 years, a really bad one for about 30. But for 62 years, I've been a Catholic. I've been a lot of Lents. And for the past 20 years, I've taken this stuff really, really serious. So Lent is like a huge thing with it, because I know this stuff. You got to do this, do that. I did a Lent one year. This was years ago. I wouldn't even think about doing it again, particularly after I did it. Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, bread and water. What? Yeah, bread and water. I didn't eat bread for 3 weeks into Lent. I was so sick of bread, and I was like, whatever, I'll just drink water. It was that bad. It was a good Lent. It was great. I would highly suggest not doing that. I did that. I would never, ever think of giving up coffee for Lent. Ever. Why? I know my weakness. I am attached to coffee. I like the attachment. All right? I'm not going to do anything about it. That's one of those things when I would think about, I should really give up coffee this Lent, just to say I did it. I can't. So, I know my weakness. We should understand our weakness when it comes to spiritual stuff. So, Lent does that for us. The necessity of grace, something else we learn. I can't do that. Yeah, you probably can't. That's why you appeal to our Lord and our Blessed Mother, that they give you the graces to do that. You know, I know I couldn't have done that myself, so this grace thing is real. You learn by putting yourself in this position. Detachment. The other thing is an increase of merits. Like I said, you want to give up the chocolate and the Coke, you're going to get about that many merits over that. You give up something that you really, really like. I'm going to talk about just food. Something you really like to do. And you put that on yourself and you persevere, you get abounding graces. This is a reality of our faith. We should desire as much grace as we possibly can. So, if you put it on yourself to where you're meriting things, great. You know, the greater the temptation, the bigger the merit. This is to our benefit. These are the things that we learn from temptations. Our Lord's temptations also, we learn the reality of our Catholic life in this world. The Gospel of Mark is famous for being, it's referred to a lot of, is the immediate Gospels. It's the shortest Gospel, and every time it's like very succinct. Jesus did this, and immediately he did that, and immediately he did this, and immediately he did that. It's not detailed. Sometimes we can actually learn from the lack of detail. For instance, three things going on with our Lord. Tempted by Satan, with the beasts, ministered to by angels. This all applies to our Catholic life. Tempted by Satan. In the other Gospels, you get details of what Satan's temptations for our Lord were. Three of them. Three temptations. Our Lord was in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. You think he walked around just being hungry and Satan just kind of popped up three times and said this, that, or waited to the end and then said, okay, these three things. No. Mark's gospel with its brevity, Jesus was in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights and was tempted by Satan. So the lack of detail shows us the continual temptation of our Lord. Not just three things, the whole time. This is how Satan works. I started out with it. He's going to hit you constantly through your life. This is where we learn this. And the greatest of saints, going on the heels of what St. Alphonse said, if a soul is really dear to our Lord, the temptations are increased. St. Anthony, desert father, out in the desert, contemplation, meditation, prayer for almost a century, almost 100 years, he was out there. It would sound hard enough if it was just that. If you read his life continuously for that entire time, Satan, we have temptations, we have our imagination. We think of this, or we think of that, or we see a picture or image of something. St. Anthony's hanging out in the desert, and he would actually get visions of the most heinous of sins and the most grotesque temptations. I mean, he'd actually see them. And at other times, he would have these apparitions of demons in their most horrible, monstrous presentation of themselves. Why would God do that to one of his favorite? Well, one, because of the merits that it gained him. But why would Satan do that? Because Satan is ever desiring to keep you from your prayer and from your solitude. We need to be still and know that he is God. And when we're beset by all this nonsense, then that distraction, it is to our spiritual detriment if we fold. But if you fight, You become like St. Anthony, and people are invoking your name while you're still alive, and demons are fleeing from possessed people while you're still alive. That's how holy that man was. Why? Because he withstood this stuff. Satan is going to hit us and harass us constantly. This is our lot. He's more subtle than any beast of the field. You got to worry about those temptations, as I said before, daily. Those are the ones that are going to get you. Those are the ones that are going to drag you down. The second element, and it's almost like off the cuff. Yeah, he's in the desert, and he was with the beasts. What's that all about? Yeah, he's in the desert. So why is that put in there? And this is the guy who doesn't give us a lot of details in the gospel. Why does it say he was with the beasts? Because our temptations don't only come from Satan. We are also tempted by the beasts of this world. We call them pagans, non-Christians. They are beasts. They want to grab you by the throat and drag you to Satan. We've got to be as careful. I would actually submit we got to be more careful of the beasts in this world than we do Satan himself. He just kind of sits back and waits for his beast to drag people to him. This is what we got to watch out for. It's made a nonchalant remark in this because one thing, our Lord wasn't afraid of them. Well, I'm afraid of beasts. We shouldn't be afraid of those people if you're cautious of them. A dog can be real mean and he's chained up. You don't have a lot to worry about, right? You got a lot to worry about if you get real close to him. That's called temptation. Oh, he's okay. When I was a cop, I heard that. He's fine. He loves people. Well, he's never done that before. Yeah, that's the way dogs work. That's the way beasts are. They're unpredictable. Don't mess with them. Don't mess with them. No, they're there. They're okay, look at them, take pictures of them, whatever. But don't mess with them or they'll bite you. This is the reality. This is what the Holy Spirit wants us to know. So, Satan and the beast, we got to worry about. Here's the good part. Angels minister. This is where detail is beneficial. The Gospel of Mark says about our Lord's temptations that and the angels ministered to him. Well, it's easy for Jesus because he was hanging out with angels the whole time. No, he wasn't. Our Lord fought this battle by himself. He didn't have any angels around him for the 40 days and 40 nights. How do you know? It says he went, because I know the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew says, and then the devil left him, and behold, angels ministered to him. It was after he completed his temptations when the angels ministered to him. So God fought that battle alone. We don't have to. We've got brothers and sisters in Christ. We've got the sacraments and the graces. We have the Holy Spirit, God himself, who dwells in us. And we also have a guardian angel. Not to mention all the other guardian angels that hover over churches and are here with your guardian angel while you're in here, imparting graces to you. All these things, we have those going for us every single day. We don't have to fight this battle alone. We don't have to. You shouldn't try. You're going to lose. Don't try that. Avail yourself of the ministries of the graces and the angels. This is what we should do. We need to understand, again, in this whole, in a nutshell, this whole Lent thing and why we do it is to be worthy of our Lord. You need to be worthy of Jesus Christ. The question was posed by St. Denis. It's not a question of, do I deserve to go to hell? But do I deserve to go to heaven? You deserve to go to heaven if you're worthy of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is why our Lord Jesus Christ says, take up your cross daily and follow me. What is the cross? The cross is the generalities. It is the synthesis of the temptations of this world. And one of the biggest temptations about the cross is to throw it off your back. How quick we are when we get a cross laid on us. Lord, take it from me. Lord, take it from me. Lord, take it. It's not wrong to do that. Why not Lord, take it from me if it's your will, but if not, teach me what I'm to learn. Or bring your son glory while I carry this cross. Never forget that part. That makes us worthy of our Lord Jesus Christ when we take up our cross daily and follow him. So, in this Catholic life, when we confront everyday satanic harassment, the beasts that are in this world, knowing that we have angels attending us, we never want to lose sight of the fact that as we carry that cross, we are called to resist. The cross of your baptism. For those of you who were baptized in the old rite, which we use around here for baptism, there's a part in the ritual where the baptized person is anointed with oil on their back. They don't do it in Novus Ordo world. Everything we do liturgically has an objective spiritual reality. When you're signed with a cross on your back at your baptism, it's the spiritual reality that is applied to you to know that you need to carry that cross for the rest of your life. Now, are there a lot of people who throw that cross off? Absolutely. They're lost. If you carry that cross, then you're worthy of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is why, what's the big deal about changing the rite? That's huge. It's huge. If you don't have that symbol placed on you, you do not receive the grace of that symbol. And you wonder why we're having all the problems we're having right now. This is a real thing. So when we're crossed with the sign of the cross in our baptism on our back, we know what's coming, and we also know what we have to do. St. Bede the Venerable, speaking of our Lord's temptation and applying it to us who are baptized, particularly when you look at it in the form of an example. St. Bede says, soon after he was baptized, our Lord Jesus performed a fast of 40 days. And he taught us and informed us by his example that after we have received forgiveness of sins and baptism, we should devote ourselves to vigils, fasts, prayers, and other spiritually fruitful things, lest we become sluggish and less vigilant. Look around you. Look around you at people who do not act like they're carrying a cross. Look around you at people who give up chocolate and Coke. There is no merit there. We need to gain merit. The second reading today, going on St. Bede's, on his presentation. St. Peter says that our baptism is not putting away the filth of the flesh, but the examination of a good conscience toward God. How can you be examined if you haven't proven something? You could talk till you're blue in the face of how patient you are, how pious you are, and everything. Have you proved it? Do you prove it? And proving it is every day. Imagine when you were going to school and the teacher said, we're having an examination. And you said, I don't need to take the examination. I want to tell you everything that I know about the subject. The teacher would be like, I don't want to hear what you think you know about the subject. I'm going to examine you. This is what our Lord does with us while we're here. He examines us, and we got to take it. We've got to show him. We've got to prove to him that we are going to fight, that we're worthy of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you know, go away from this understanding that by virtue of your baptism, you too have been immediately driven into the desert, so to speak. We're in this world for 40 days, because 40 is the number of trial. Hebrew people, they were in the desert for 40 years. This is what we're doing here. We're proving ourselves. You're going to face Satan. You're going to face the beasts, but you're not alone. You've got all the graces that I spoke about before. So when you understand this, it should make you willing to fight. Because if you know you got all that going on for you, all those weapons, and you don't use them? Whose fault is that? In the name of the Father, and Son, Holy Ghost.